Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, world? What's going on? It's your boy, Mr. Savannah Black, back again with another episode of Mr. Savannah Black's Conscious Attack. In this episode, we're going to get a little bit into gun violence because it seems like every week after I have a show and I mention something about it, something happened during the week that brings me back to this issue once again. Also, we'll be talking about that Ebola outbreak that they keep putting on the news on CNN and Fox News and CSNBC and every other station that you can see to get us to be aware, I guess, of this Ebola virus. Also, we're going to talk about Facebook challenges, YouTube challenges, and just those challenges that they have that our kids are partaking in that is causing great injuries, even death in some cases, plus an array of other subjects we'll be talking about tonight on Savannah Black's Conscious Attack. I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. And if I haven't said it, I'll say it again. It's been a long time since I left you. Well, a strong thought that kept you. Kept you from doing something that was self-destructive. So we get into that right there. Callers that want to join in on the conversation, you're more than welcome. We're going to get off in this thing and we're going to see whether or not we can come up with some solutions to some of the things that are happening to our little young black boys and girls. Otherwise, we ain't doing nothing but just wasting a whole bunch of time. I have a lot of brothers and family that I know that says, Mr. Savannah Black, why don't you talk about the things that happened in the past, Mrs. Savannah Black. Why don't you talk about Kemet, Mrs. Savannah Black? Why don't you talk about the Sumerians, the Sumerian texts, Mrs. Savannah Black? Why don't you talk about Egypt, Mrs. Savannah Black? Even Jesus, Mrs. Savannah Black? Why every time you come on and have a show, it's always about this stuff that other people need to be talking about instead of you? And I'm like this. Shit. If I was to come on the show and I was to start talking about some of these things, then the people that I need to understand won't understand. See, people don't realize or understand is the knowledge that's attained is not for everybody. Some people just get 5% of it. But then in turn, it'll be 5% of all people that get it would be the ones that would be the poor righteous teachers to go around and spread the knowledge. Another 15%, they're only going to get 15% of the lesson, no more than that. And then we keep going on and on and on. But you rarely find people that if you were to give them a good book, like, let me see, The Magneto. If you were to give them a book like that and tell them to read it, even Dr. Amos Wilson's Complete Blueprint to Black Power, they won't read it. But if you were to give them a little small pamphlet with the crack of Jesus on the front of it, they'll read it, and then they'll come back and ask you for more. There are thousands of books that I can name and think of that, no, my fault, not thousands, excuse me. There are many books that I can think of, that I can name, that if I give to one of my brothers or sisters, they won't read. But if I give them any little thing that has Jesus on it, they'll pick it up and they'll memorize everything on it. So what is it that Mr. Savannah Black is supposed to do? You understand what I'm saying? What is it that I'm supposed to do? Go around when I see my brothers and sisters and talk to them like this right here, my brother. Should I tell them of the wonders that happened in ancient Egypt? Should I tell them that we were already over here in these United Snakes of America before the cracker came? Or should I tell them of us going into Europe during the so-called Dark Ages and bringing the white man from out of the darkness into the light? Do you think I should tell them that, my brother? Mr. Savannah Black, think not. Well, when I come back, so y'all know what time it is now, I got to theme music, because if I don't, it seems like the show just won't go the way I want it to go. But I'm going to play my theme music, which is Public Enemy, Prophets of Rage. You're listening to Savannah Black Causes Attack. And when we come back from off this commercial break, we're going to get off in this shit.
You're quite hostile.
Because you know
I got
why?
A right to be hostile, man. Yeah. My people been persecuted.
The mic's a vice. With force, I keep it away, of course. Way and of course. I'm keeping you from sleeping. And on the stage, I raise and I'm rolling. And to the poor, I pour in all my metaphors. I'm not bluffing, it's nothing that we ain't did before. We played to say the points made you consider it done by the prophets of rage.
What the people say?
Yo, Flip, you and us, one step, you get to the east side. We got to take it for the east side.
I roll with the punches so I survive. I survive. I rock cause it keeps the crowd alive. I'm not falling, I'm just calling. But I'm past the days of yes, y'all in. I wiggle round, around, I pump, you jump up. Hear my words, my verbs again.
I've
been around a while, you can't describe my sound. Clear the way for the prophets of rage.
What the people say?
Hey, yo, Grip, we got to get to my man Ralph in the south. Let's kick it to the south side.
I ring your bell, can you tell I got feeling?
Feeling.
This peace at least as I want it.
Want
I want it so bad. Check my chromosome, and then you check the stage. I declare a new age.
Get down
for the prophets of rage.
Then you kick it like this.
Okay, okay, come on. Okay, okay, come on. Okay, okay, come on.
Get down. Okay, okay,
come on.
Okay, okay,
come on.
Yes, that was Public Enemy, Papa's a Race. My theme song. For some reason, when I hear that song, it just does something to me to kind of get the blood boiling. Some people might don't understand because they wasn't raised up on that era. They might have been raised up on the Lil Weezy era, the Lil Wayne era. In the news also this week, they ruled that the death of Eric Garner, the brother who got choked out in New York, they ruled it a homicide. I'm looking at Atlanta Black Star, and it said that Eric Garner's death is ruled a homicide. Will New York prosecute officer who killed him? And you know who's at the forefront of this? It's Reverend Perm, the Worm, Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton is spearheading this campaign. Why is it every time that something happened in the black community, this weasel looked like a overcooked forefront causing? He's calling for justice, and he's causing rebel rousing in the black community until they pay him off. Where are the strong black brothers at in New York City? The ones that have all these motherfucking debates about who knowledge is supreme over the other one's knowledge. About who teacher was the best teacher. Where in the fuck are these brothers at? Where are these knowledge of self Negroes at? I haven't seen one article on Facebook or otherwise where these motherfuckers throwing a protest, a march, I don't care what it is. I haven't seen none of them. I'm not going to call their name on air. But if y'all look at y'all so-called scholars that's up in the NYC passing out DVDs and going from corner to corner debating with every body that they see from different schools. See, you got the black Hebrew Israelites. They stand out in New York City, you know, and those boys be preaching. But I'm not the one to talk about that shit because at least some boys out there trying to get the message spread. We even have brothers from the Nation of Islam that still be posted out there, and 5%ers as well, and other brothers from the schools of Kemet in this place and that place that stand out in the corner. But none of these motherfuckers, that's right, I said it. I said it again. Let me rewind that shit. None of these motherfuckers are doing nothing in protest of this shit. Nothing. And I know a lot of them say, yo, you know, hey, Mr. Black, you know, we got to play our position, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, we can't let the folks know what it is that we doing. You know, we have to throw a stone with the left hand and then hide that hand so the other hand don't know what it's doing. I understand what you're saying, brother. But goddamn, how long you going to keep throwing that stone and hiding that hand so the other hand don't see what the first hand doing? How long you going to keep using that as an excuse instead of saying what it is that it really is, that you have weak-ass manhood issues, that you really are, I'm going to say it, y'all, hey, y'all listen to Savannah Black Conscious Attack, but I'm going to say it, y'all have pussy nigga issues because y'all really are pussy niggas. And I know for some people, they'd be like, well, Mr. Savannah Black, why you have to use the word niggers? Niggers is just like saying a cuss word. We need to get that word out of our vocabulary. Man, fuck that shit. I'm going to say it the same way we used to say it on the street. The same way if you stand inside a circle of 10 or more black people, you're going to hear somebody say niggers. weak ass niggas, scary cat ass niggas, knowledge of self ass niggas. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that they are so scared that they'll get online and they'll make a video, you know, and they'll show all the people that's in their group and their class and this and that. But guess what? They won't do shit. So I know some of y'all say, well, Mr. Savannah Black, what you doing? That shit is inside my motherfucking city. That shit in your goddamn city. What the fuck you doing in your motherfucking city? Because it's relatively calm down here where I'm at right now. But you best believe, when some shit do jump off, then I'm going to have to do what I have to do. But for right now, I can't point motherfucking fingers to these niggas up in New York City that call themselves Black Power and all this shit. Y'all haven't done nothing. Then the forefront of the fucking marches that I do see in the coverage that is put on Facebook or wherever the fuck, I see this old slick, trick, perm the worm-ass nigga in Al Sharpton. When you gonna wake up and step up to the plate? Anyway, enough of that. I had to say something about that because it just pisses me off when I look, you know, social media, newspaper, and I don't hear or see nothing. And I know some of y'all might say, well, Mr. Savannah Black, you know, they don't give us the coverage like they give Al Sharpton because he'll sell out. Man, I can understand. But for the most part, it's some bullshit. Y'all be on social media enough putting shit out there. Anyway, we're going to read about this Ebola outbreak. First of all, we're going to read what Ebola is, because a lot of people don't know what Ebola is. Ebola virus disease, or Ebola hemorrhage fever, is a human disease caused by the Ebola virus. Symptoms typically start 2 days to 3 weeks after contracting the virus, with a fever, sore throat, muscle pains, and headaches. Typically, nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea follow, along with decreased functioning of the liver and kidneys. At this point, some people begin to have problems with bleeding. The disease may be acquired upon contact with blood or bodily fluids of an affected animal, commonly monkeys or fruit bats. Now, see, I'm going to have to rewind that for a minute. Now, you see, here they go again with the fucking monkey shit. See, the monkeys, remember now, they said that the monkey was what started the AIDS virus. You know, a black person fucking a monkey is what started the AIDS virus. See, these crackers, they sleep with this shit. But now we get the Ebola from the monkey, too. God damn, boy. Why the fuck we ain't this? Anyway, fruit bats are believed to carry and spread the virus without being affected. Once human infection occurs, the disease may spread between people as well. Male survivors may be able to transmit the disease via semen for nearly 2 months. In order to make the diagnosis, typically other diseases with similar symptoms, such as malaria, chlamydia, or viral hemorrhaging fevers, are first excluded. Blood samples may then be tested for antibodies and all this other shit to confirm diagnosis. But they haven't. They say that the two people, just the funny shit, but it's not funny. They brought two people back to the States to get treated at the CDC in Atlanta. The Ebola virus. So we're going to look and see how many people die annually from the Ebola virus. Because virus is the same as swine flu to me. But it says a deadly outbreak. But the thing about it is, and they say that up to between 50 and 90% of the people who catch it dies. But no more than 10,000 people have died from the first deadly outbreak of Ebola since 1976. You have to ask yourself, how is it that they bring this thing on TV and they have it all on CNN, all on MSNBC, and all these different stations talking about how deadly the virus is? And I'm not taking away from the potency of this fucking thing. As bad as y'all say it is, wouldn't by now hundreds of thousands of people would have been and died from it? Maybe a million people would have been and died from it? See, that's just another trick that the cracker pull to scare the hell out of you. But see, what people need to be worried about is, why would it bring two people with the most deadliest disease on the planet, in Ebola, to the CDC in Atlanta? What is it that they're trying to do by bringing these people with this virus to the city of Atlanta? I'd be scared as hell. See, because one thing about the cracker, they'll do something like this right here just so they can take and extract the disease, harness the disease, and then make the disease something that they can give to you as an African in America. See, that's how the cracker work. That's the things that the cracker do. And I know some people say, well, Mr. Savannah Black, why would people do something like that? I refuse to believe that somebody would just go out their way just to harness a disease just to kill black people. People have other shit to do. Shit, obviously not the cracker. Maybe you got other shit to do, better things to do, such as look at the Atlanta Housewives or something like that on TV, or Hip Hop Wives, or one of them other little distractions that they throw on the television for black people to look at. Who knows? When they say stuff like they brought the two victims who suffered from the Ebola to the CDC in Atlanta, you have to ask yourself, why? Because it's the best treatment facility in the world? Because it makes the most deadliest diseases in the world? Why? And I know some of y'all might say, well, you know, Mr. Savannah Black, you're going off on the deep end about this shit right now, you know. But I'm going to get into this right here, and then we're going to get off this subject. I just had to say something about it because I thought it was quite interesting when I seen that they had these people transported to Savannah. These two crackers, they have Ebola. And bring them to the CDC. But they say there's not, you know, nothing that serious to Georgia. But my thing is, why in the hell would they keep showing it on TV over and over and over and over again? You have to ask yourself that. And one thing that y'all don't realize and that y'all don't understand is whenever these crackers show you something on TV or on the news over and over again, it's not just to put it on there. It's for a reason. And that reason is to let your ass know what they got in store for you next. I know some of y'all don't believe that. I know you don't. But it's going to take more than Mr. Savannah Black to tell you for you to believe it. Because one thing about black folks, they don't believe too much of what other black people say. They got to hear it from the cracker. This is Mr. Savannah Black's Conscious Attack. And after that, we're going to get into these Facebook challenges and these YouTube challenges that really are very dangerous to our kids that we need to watch out for and that we need to give them education on so they can know that these things are dangerous, that they can lose their life or seriously be injured for life following these challenges. Mr. Savannah Black, Conscious Attack.
I'm scared what to tell my kids, y'all. We live in a system that's designed for us to fail, and I don't know what to tell them. I don't know what to tell them when they get older. They're going to face a system that tells them there is no you. There is only who I want you to be. From your latest cell phones to the style seen in your most recent videos to my implementation of what you call swag. If you can't brag about how many women you have or the $200 denim on your butt, you are worthless. Your purse is not hot if it is a fall edition and we are in the winter. And as long as your kids have Jordans on their feet, it is okay if they have to eat top ramen for a week for dinner. Your check is in the mail. You fail at becoming grown men, so you don't bother with your younger ones. Give them to me. I'll program them to Viacom. Have them growing up with a single mom and extensive rap sheets and ADD with no off switch and download a defense that is nothing but false self-confidence shown through them being overly aggressive. Your misguided women want nothing but diamonds and Fendi, or dreams of finding a professional athlete to pay for their lives because to them being a wife is not a lifestyle, it is trendy. Trendy to have like a little black dog carried around in a bag, the deconstruction of your black woman and man are going according to plan. Flip the coin, and for those who have chose not to go down that road, make sure that any statement they make that may challenge their masculinity are followed by statements of insecurity. We can't have them thinking for themselves. Program dreams to be a mirage. Close enough to see, yet too far to reach. Their aesthetics too pathetic, a.k.a. camouflage. Allow them to blend in. Keyword, trend. Downtown corners full of rappers who refuse to give up even though their stuff sucks, but will allow them to say their piece. At the very least, it'll make them a quick buck. Any more success, initiate operation exploitation. Throw them a bit more cash. I am the system. Programmed to initiate commands. You Negroes, error, you people are programmed not to ask. Empty vessels who have sold their souls a long time ago, and you call me robotic. I am the system. Systematically set to just do. You are systematically set to just do and not think, and you call me robotic. Error, redundancy. Error, repeat. Error, redundancy. Error, repeat. Pardon me. I was scanning your culture's current popular music. You want a cop to pay for killing one of you, but carry a no-snitching policy in your own community, which allows you Negroes, error, you Negroes, error, you Negroes, error, you people to have absolutely no accountability. Irony, overload, reset. I am the system, systematically set to desensitize your senses, senseless activity surrounds your society, simultaneously making you love me while shaking in your boots. And for those who dare to overthrow me, allow me to remind thee, 'tis I who provides you with the land and seed you use to grow your little grass roots. I am the system.
Yes, That was a lot of us are so programmed by the system of white supremacy and these television programs that have us doing things that we think are for our best interest, but they are things that go against the system. And when I say the system, I'm not talking about their system. I'm talking about our system, our bodily system, our mental system, our spiritual system, designed for us to go against our system, our cultural system, and to fall into the programming that they want us to fall into. So when he said that I am the system, he was talking about the programming of the system of white supremacy. Now we're going to talk about these Facebook challenges, these YouTube challenges. Now first, when it first started, the shit used to be hilarious. When they have these challenges, somebody might say, well, you know, I got a challenge. I'm going to eat 8 spoonfuls of Pop Rocks and drink a diet soda and see what happens. Okay. Then we had one, if I can recall, it was the cinnamon challenge, where you take a big spoonful of cinnamon and you eat that shit. Okay. Then I seen one that was like the 12-pack challenge, when they took this funnel with this tube and put it inside their mouth and just pour beer in it. And it drunk. Cracker Boys, I seen do that. I said, okay. Then these motherfuckers had got bolder, and then they had did a piss challenge. Yes, pee, urine. Well, they drunk urine. I said, you know what? These crackers are crazy. I said, I don't never have to worry about my people doing nothing like this right here. Now, I know my people might have some issues, but I know one thing my people won't do. I know one thing that my people won't do. And that right there is to partake in this crazy-ass shit right here. And guess what happened? Slowly but surely, my people started doing the cinnamon challenges. And they started doing all these other challenges. But then, I said, you know what? It looked like black people joining the jackasses. But then I seen one that was so disturbing to me. And that one was the Space Monkey Challenge. Let me explain to you what the Space Monkey Challenge is. The Space Monkey Challenge is they take, and somebody there either stand up and bend down or they'll squat. And they'll inhale 20 breaths. They keep going. Somebody count to 20 while they do it, right? Then next thing you know, you put the phone number right there. Next thing you know, they'll stand up and then somebody will take, push on their chest. And they'll hold and they'll count again to 20. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or whatever, you know, while the person holding the breath. And then they let the person go. Lots of times, the person don't even get to 20 before the other person passes out. And it's so crazy because you see, like, females fall, because a lot of women doing it, black girls doing it. You see them fall, hit the wall, fall, hit the table, fall, hit the chair, fall, hit the floor. Boom, pass out. And it's like, damn, these women, crazy as hell. Don't you know that doing something like that, you can either die or get brain damage? And some people are like, well, you know, Mr. Savannah Black, I put pillows all around me so that whenever I do it in a fall, I don't have to worry about hitting my head. Because I'm going to land on a cushiony soft pillow. I got a city portion pedic pillow, Mr. Savannah Black. Well, that's good for you, goddammit. Well, here it is. Guess what? Now, the same thing that I used to do as a young kid, I see that they're doing nowadays. But see, the thing about it is, it was something between me and my homeboy. It's just we never call it a challenge. We just call it just doing certain things, you know? But I remember it was one cat who did it when we was growing up. He died from lack of oxygen to his brain. He went into a coma for about 3 weeks. After that, he became a vegetable and died. I try to tell people, you can't listen to what these crackers say to do. Joining these Facebook challenges, joining these crackers. That's right, I'm going to say it again. This is Mr. Savannah Black Conscious Attack. And I use the term and the words cracker because, shit, that's basically who the one you're falling after. You're falling after the cracker. You're falling after the cracker doing all of these crazy-ass Facebook and YouTube challenges, not realizing that the consequences can be your life. Then they got this other one that they do where they take and they put, like, fingernail polish or alcohol or something flammable, and they're taking their pour it all over their body. I just had to say that shit like that because that's how Martin said. They pour it all over their body. And then they say, you know, they're doing the challenge of setting themselves on fire. Then I go and I look. It's like literally hundreds of videos with little black boys and girls setting themselves on fire to fulfill this challenge. Now, when the challenges first came about, it was about little simple shit like losing weight, you know. But I got a challenge, you know, my 1 month challenge is, you know, I'm going to lose 15 pounds. Then they say, you know, you've seen other women losing. Okay, cool, you know, you're doing it for the health-wise. My challenge is I'm going to run a 5K. But then the challenges got more riskier, more daring. I even seen one with this girl, this little cracker girl. Yes, I said cracker. And I just hope that my little black boys and girls don't fall behind these crackers doing this one. I even seen one of them smoking meth. Smoking meth as a challenge. What is it that, when is it that we're going to realize that these white folks do not have our best interests at heart? When are we going to stop looking at behavior and realizing that their past behavior is the same behavior today as it was yesterday? Why is it that you don't understand that this is a design? Come on now. Set yourself on fire. That's a challenge. Take alcohol, pour it over your body. That's some sick shit. See, now, this is a part of the game that we never had been involved in. I guess you could probably name when we started smoking crack back in the late 80s and all through the 90s and the early 2000s. But now we're so crazy, we'll kill ourselves now. I'm talking about the cracker don't have to do nothing. The cracker just pull out the white gun, load up the black bullet, and then fire away. Al Sharpton, Black Bullet, White Gun. Jesse Jackson, Black Bullet, White Gun. We have different degrees of guns. Some of them are 22s. Some of them are 9. Some of them are 38 special, Saturday night specials, as the cops used to say. Some of them are Uzi. But you take your, the sellout that you know, whether it's a next door neighbor, whether it's a coworker at work, or whether it's somebody that you know on TV as a public figure that's doing everything contrary to the benefit of black folks. And you can compare a pistol, a gun with him. Jesse Jackson, he's an AK-47. Then we're going to go Al Sharpton. He like a little baby Jesse, so he like a little Uzi. Then we go to the top, the head house Negro to me of all time. Nobody can beat this man right here in house Negroness. He need to get a house Negro Peace Prize. He need to get the gold in house niggerism. He need to get any type of, he need to get the Oscar for being the house nigger of the year. The house nigger of the century. He even surpassed a lot of our so-called civil rights leaders that we had back in the days who were secretly working for the FBI and the CIA, or who were doing the biddings and the work of the FBI and the CIA. This motherfucker right here, he is the worst of the worst. And I know a lot of people that might don't agree with what I'm about to say, who it is I'm about to say, but he is the nuclear bomb of house niggas. Y'all ready? Some of y'all might get mad. Some of y'all might hang up. The house nigga, house niggas is Barack Obama. Ooh. I know some of y'all say, well, Mr. Black, how you going to say that right there about our first black president? Fuck y'all, first black president. President is the king of the tom. He is worse than a tom. Anytime you have a black man that's sitting inside the highest seat of power, not only in the United States of America, but the fucking world. That's right. Barack Obama sits in the highest position of power than anybody in the world. And you got this man pushing the homosexual agenda on black folks. You got this man covering for the atrocities that the Israelis are doing to the Palestinian people. Now, I don't really have, you know, so much to say about the goodwill of Palestine because, shit, let's face it, they are Arabs to me. And one thing I know about Arabs, they do not like black people. They can't stand our ass. So all you brothers out there that are Sunni Muslims and that praise Muhammad and you follow any type of fucking Arab, then you know what? You need to take that white gun and point at yourself and shoot your motherfucking self, because those folks don't care about black people at all. They see us as inferior. Now, I know I talk a lot of shit about the cracker in America, but the brothers who live in any country that's dominated by Arabs and they living under the banner of Islam, they get fucked on a daily basis. They get treated like animals on a daily basis. Those Arabs still have slavery going around where they at. So, like I said, I can give a fuck less about an Arab. But we have to look at it in this perspective. The same as what happened in Libya when they took out Muammar Gaddafi. They killed tens of thousands of black people. They even had a black town over in Libya that got demolished by those same fucking Arabs. See, the reason that Israel is doing so good the way that they are is because they have the of the United Snake of America and her allies, which is France, Britain, Canada, and every other little nation that want to go jump on the dick. But this bitch-ass nigga, Barack Obama, he got on TV earlier this week and last week. See, because he say shit, he come back and say it twice. He said he's in full support of what they're doing over in Israel. And then he used the word terrorism to apply to the people in Palestine. But then, I seen an article today, and I'm going to read a little bit to you, because, see, this is the type of shit that Mr. Savannah Black be talking about. And y'all be like, oh, Mr. Savannah Black, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, he had made history for us. Man, only thing he did was made a way for goddamn faggots to come and invade the African community. Whether it's in America, whether it's in Thailand, whether it's in, you can name any place in the world, whether it's in Australia, whether it's in New Zealand, I don't care where you go at. If there are black people that are there, your president, Mr. Faggot, has made it so that black people are, quote unquote, the new face sexuality. And I know some of y'all say, damn, Mr. Not a Black, every time you talk, you always got to say something about homosexuality. All right, y'all, this is what I'm going to do. I'm gonna get on this for a little minute. But I had to say something about this right here. I know y'all said, well, damn, Mr. Savannah Black, you jumped subject. Yeah, I did jump subject, because this is some shit that pisses me off. And a lot of y'all think that I just be raving for no reason and ranting for no reason, but y'all president is a bitch-ass nigga. That's right, I said it. He is a bitch-ass nigga. Ain't me saying it. It's the white people saying it. They don't want to say he's a bitch nigga. He that what the crackers say. But he is. He is a bitch. He will use all of his political power, if need be, to make sure before he go out of office that the African, this motherfucker got 2 years and, 4 months left to get this agenda across. But he's going to make sure that the Africans become homosexualized before he leave out of office. It's crazy. Y'all still want to say, well, you know what, he don't got no other choice. He don't got no other choice. Back in the days, just like I had said last week, I talked that shit about Martin Luther King. You know, leading everybody into a burning house. But one thing about Martin believed in, quote, unquote, one more time, getting the civil liberties and rights restored for the Africans in America. So he took the ass cutting for those crackers. He took the feces, he took the urine, he threw it in his face from the cracker. He took the dog biting his ass up from the cracker. And he had let a whole bunch of courageous ass niggas. Dumbass black folks. That's why I call the ass niggas. He led some courageous black folks to go and get fucked up by the white people to go sit on lunch counter. But he believed. And he went with what he believed in. So you can never get mad with a man who go with his belief. He had a dream. The dream got him killed. And the dream didn't make us no better off than what we were. Because I feel like we were better because we had our own black businesses. We had our own black hospitals. I'm talking about, you know, a lot of young people don't realize this right here. in a lot of cities, mine included, they had a lot of black businesses. They had black carpenters, black home builders. They had black brick masons, black plumbers, black electricians, black schools full of black teachers. We even had a black hospital here. Black stores, black clubs. We ain't need to crack up for nothing. Black insurance companies. We had all that black shit here. And I'm quite sure in your city, you had the same thing. I remember back then there might have been one store in the neighborhood that wasn't controlled by black people. But then the rule was that if you have a store inside a black neighborhood, you had to hire the people in the neighborhood to work in that store. Or you would get a visit from either your local pastor organization, your local church, or your local mosque. And that's one beautiful thing that we did as black folks. But now, we own nothing. We spend less money in our neighborhood out of all races. And it's sad. It really is sad. But now we got Barack Obama, bitch ass. They talking about he's expected to go back and talk on homosexuality in Africa. So I'm going to read about Uganda. Uganda leader signs harsh anti-gay bill despite warning from the Obama administration. In the latest setback for gay people across Africa, Ugandan president, damn, I'm sorry, y'all, I can't even pronounce his name. You know, old crackers that took my tongue and replaced it with English, but I'll try. Yoweri Museveni signed a law money that imposes tough penalties for homosexual acts, a move that drew condemnation from around the world and that could jeopardize Uganda's relationship with the Obama administration and Western donors. Homosexuality was already illegal in Uganda, but the new legislation threatens to usher in an era of harsh treatment of a could lead to widespread oppression of gay men and lesbians, human rights activists said. The legislation imposes a 14-year prison sentence for first-time offenders and life sentences for repeat offenders found guilty of aggravated homosexuality. Now, I know some of y'all say, well, Mr. Savannah Black, what they got to do with us over here? That is the only place we have left that Africa and Jamaica, excuse me, I'm sorry, leaving out Jamaica, but those are the only place we have left that have strong black manhood. Don't put up with that homosexuality foolishness. Now, that story that's not read, that's from February. How about if I was to tell you that a lot of Africans who were against homosexuality are now striking down those bills, and they are picking up for the fight and the cause of the homosexuals in Africa. Look at this from a larger scope because Obama has went and cut off the funding to those African countries that are against homosexuality. But at the same time, nothing is said to, the Arab countries that don't support homosexuality. See, Barack Obama said it's a passion of his to make sure that nobody in the LGBT community is harassed. But now he's urged to address the LGBT rights of Africa. Y'all just don't understand, do y'all? This is some serious business. Very serious. See, now what we have is people going into Africa, whether they're Chinese, whether they're British, whether they're Indian, whether they're, I don't care what, whether American crackers, European crackers, French crackers, all kind of crackers. And we got all kind of goddamn Asians going over there, too, whether it's a Chinese Asian, a Malaysian Asian, whether it's a Japanese Asian, whether it's a Taiwanese Asian or a Vietnamese Asian or any damn need going over to Africa. And crackers from all over the place going too. And Indians. So to get as less resistance as they possibly can in the next 10 to 15 years when they go reoccupy Africa, you're going to see the rapid spread of homosexuality sweeping Africa. Now, not to say that it's not going on now. Some of it is through sexual contact. The other is through getting Ebola and all these other little man-made diseases that the cracker, oh, my fault, excuse me, I'm sorry for saying the cracker, that the monkey put out there, that the monkey caused people to get. It's crazy. It's real crazy. I'm looking at this picture of this brother who set herself on fire on Facebook and how fucked up he is. The burns that's on his brother is just crazy. A lot of times I do this show, I want y'all to know that I don't write nothing down. I kind of say, you know what, I'm going to talk about this or I'm going to talk about that. But it's hard talking about these things without them really making you mad and pissing you off. Dealing with talking about the homosexual agenda, dealing with talking about the Facebook challenges that these crazy-ass kids are doing that are leaving some of them dead and other ones hospitalized and scarred for life. Talking about the brother who got choked out in New York City. Talking about Barack Obama trying to spread a homosexual agenda in Africa. The defeminization. Well, the feminizing our black men and the masculinizing our black women. It takes a toll on me. You know, I wish I could talk to y'all about other things. Like I said a couple of times before, maybe I can talk about support. Maybe I can talk about, you know, a new movie that's coming out that's good to go take the kids to see. And maybe talk about Supreme Mathematics. Maybe talk about Supreme Alphabet. Maybe building on, you know what I'm saying, the lessons of the great Elijah Muhammad. A lot of things I probably can be doing, y'all. But I get into this because it hurts so much to see it going on and nobody's saying nothing about it. Nobody's talking about it. We were sitting in our class earlier this week, and I belong to a group called the Black Messiahs. Hit me up on Facebook if you're interested in knowing anything about it. Mr. Savannah Black on Facebook. Mr. Savannah Black Constant Tech on Facebook. But anyway, when we sitting around in the round table and one of the young dudes in the class had stood up and said, you know, everybody's scared. Nobody want to do shit. But to hear a young cat say something like that, it really kind of moved me, because that's the shit I've been saying. You know, us people that's getting up there, you know, I'm a young dude too now, hold up a minute. But us dudes that's getting up there, we are scared. I'm saying, you know, we might have been on the street as thugs, and then as soon as we got knowledge of self, we became docile. And, you know, I know it's one thing to use your cool, calm, collected mind state, you know, in order, your mind state, in order, you know what I'm saying, to maneuver around the system that this cracker has designed. You might realize a lot of mistakes that you made, you know, and you're working differently, you know, so that you don't get caught up in the same shit that you got caught up in before. But that don't mean for you to be a coward. That don't mean for you to see things going on and not do nothing about it. I'm going to read this right here. Advocates issue report on the dreadful state of LGBT rights in Africa as world leaders and leading figures from the continent prepare for the U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit. The White House will host more than 40 African heads of state for a three-day U.S.-Africa Leaders Conference next week, the first event of its kind and the largest such event any U.S. president has held with African government. Some 200 African and U.S. CEOs are invited, and numerous faith leaders will gather to discuss their role in advancing development. Now, when they say faith leaders, Africa, you have to realize that 80% of the people in Africa, matter of fact, it's 85%. 40% of them are Arab, and 45% of them are Christian. The other percentage of them, they are Hindu, Buddhist, and made up of religions that originated in Africa that they were practicing for millennia before the traditional religions came along. So most of Africa has been bamboozled and hoodwinked. So that's what they mean when they say that the religious leaders. They're talking about the high percentage, the 85, either the Muslim or either the Christian. This is crazy, y'all. Where was that? Okay. To mark the historic event, LGBT advocates have issued a report on the state of LGBT rights in Africa. Their conclusion, it ain't good. The Human Rights Campaign Foundation and Human Rights First report contains some stark numbers. A total of 37 African nations currently criminalize same-sex relationships. Four countries, Kenya, Nigeria, Somalia, and Sudan, allow for the death penalty against LGBT people in part or in all other countries. Cameroon arrests more people based on their sexual orientation than any country in the world. Than any country in the world. Now, y'all know that's some bullshit. I'm going to read that again. Cameroon arrests more people based on their sexual orientation than any country in the world. Ghana treats same-sex relationships as a misdemeanor punishable by up to 3 years in prison. In Kenya, the sentence is up to 14 years. Only one country grants full marriage equality to LGBT citizens. And y'all know what country that is, South Africa. Nelson Mandela didn't have a problem with LGBT. He didn't have a problem with homosexuals in South Africa. The only place in South Africa, well, really, it's not South Africa, but it's still South Africa. It's Swaziland. They don't play that shit. That little small country don't play that. But if you go to South Africa, you can be LGBT faggot down. Goddamn shame. I haven't seen propaganda saying that homosexuality used to be alive and well in Africa, and then when the missionaries came over, they started burning people, and that was another trick that they pulled on black people, was telling us that homosexuality was a sin. When all through, you know, the years before they came, we had an open, harmonious, homosexual, bisexual community. That's the LGBT shit that they are putting around, saying that we did. But anyway, it says, the United States should demonstrate its firm commitment to upholding the fundamental principle that LGBT rights are human rights. This includes making clear that the United States will be a champion of LGBT rights abroad, and that we will not tolerate efforts to enact state-sanctioned discrimination against LGBT people in any community. Guys, excuse me, y'all. You know, I'm Georgia down, DC down, Gullah down, and sometimes when I'm reading this damn language, it's just my tongue just, I don't know, it just, y'all just excuse me. It's just my dialect. I try to talk as clear as possible so people can understand what I'm saying, you know, because a lot of people from the north and from the west, you know, they don't understand, you know, my dialect too good. They think I'm from the islands, and really I'm not. I'm from Georgia. But anyway, that's just how we talk here. A lot of us do. But here it is. Now, Barack Obama, when these damn African leaders come over to this summit, he's going to use this platform to tell them about accepting the LGBT into their fold. And I guarantee you, you heard it first from Mr. Savannah Black, Conscious Attack, that there's going to be somebody up there talking from the great country of Africa, the continent of Africa, talking about the atrocities that they face for being homosexuality. That's what they say. I'm homosexuality. Why you don't like me because I'm homosexuality? No, African cats talk funny as hell. But why haven't Barack Obama went over into those Arab nations with this LGBT bullshit? Iran, Iraq, Libya, shit. I can keep going. It's a lot of Arab countries where they really, the top part of Africa, but we'll call it North Africa for the sake of them. Egypt. Why haven't he went inside those countries and tried to convince those folks to accept the LGBT? Because he knows that if he fuck with those Arabs and he try to tell those Arabs faulty ass shit to become gay, homosexual faggots, that they'll blow his shit up. It's crazy. I want to give a shout out right now to the other Coach of Freedom family members. But why don't he go to these other countries and try to push that shit, push the homosexual agenda? But he'll come to Africa, the bottom part of Africa, that's still controlled, that's still inhabited by the majority of black people, and push that gay shit. Somebody need to give us that. Mr. Barack Obama, I give your ass a Culture Freedom Radio Challenge. Matter of fact, a Freedom Radio Challenge. I challenge you not to push the LGBT agenda no more to black folks. Matter of fact, I challenge you, and let me be quiet, man. Brother Sunray say, Barack Obama think it's a black thing. This faggot shit not a black thing. It's not us. But he is working on pushing this gay agenda. And He said he's committed with his presidency to make sure that the LGBT don't have discrimination around the world. Now, see, with him saying around the world, he's not talking about those Arab nations. He's talking about Europe and, matter of fact, Africa. I don't know about any of those Latin Hispanic countries. Maybe they are right with that shit. That's why they never seen them about it. But I wonder how he's going to go off on Jamaica at the end of this year or next year. Because Jamaica, you best believe Jamaica, Barack Obama is coming for your ass. Now, I don't know what type of trading that y'all do over here in the States besides, you know, well, it used to be sending us that weed, but now, you know, we make our own weed. Now, that's another show and another subject we're going to talk about another time. But what is it that you do, Jamaica? Because you best believe the United States is going to cut off some type of funding and some type of aid from your ass. Because you don't accept homosexuality the way that they got people over here in the States doing. And see, accepting homosexuality, Jamaica, is to give the homosexuals a whole month. To accept homosexuality, Jamaica, I'm laughing to keep from crying because this shit is funny. But Jamaica, they're gonna push for y'all to jump on this LGBT train. And it's sad because the Jamaican artists that support, no, that don't support this LGBT thing. We have artists such as Beanie Man. We have Lady Africa. We have T.O.K. It's a lot of artists. I can keep going. But they don't support that homosexuality shit. They know it goes against nature. Banning them so that they can't go and make no money outside of Jamaica. You banning them in Canada. You banning them in Newfoundland. You banning them in Acapulco. You banning their ass in Europe. You banning them everywhere. Because they don't agree with homosexuality. Queen Africa, only thing she did was had a concert and told the people who were straight to put their hands in the air. I put it on my Facebook, one of my Facebook groups. I put your hands in the air if you're straight and just don't care. But that's all she said. And by the sister saying that, she got persecuted. See, because to this agenda, you have to partake in this agenda by either posing in a picture with somebody that's gay and let them goddamn put a flower on your ear like Eddie Murphy had on his goddamn Delirious album cover, or you're going to have to damn be carrying one out of a burning damn building or be in a parade riding on a damn float. You're going to have to in order to get ahead, faggot, pussy-ass, bitch-ass, hoe-ass, fuckboy-ass, mixed-breed-ass, dog motherfucker. That's right. I said, I will repeat it, but I can't remember that shit in order, but I'll try. You got that bitch-ass, hoe-ass, fuckboy-ass, sissy, LGBT-ass, mixed goddamn boy who I think his granddaddy used to fuck the shit out of him, which is your president, Mr. Barack Obama. He gay as a motherfucker. I always thought the nigga had a mean pimp walk, but that ain't no goddamn pimp walk. That's a booty hole hurt walk. faggot ass. But anyway, I'm going to get off that. I get kind of upset when I think about it. It just, like I said, y'all, it's just hard for me to talk about this stuff and not be pissed off. I better slow down with this right here, because I don't want them damn folks knocking on my door. Trying to lock Mr. Cabana back up, talking about he made some terrorist threats against the president. Nah, I ain't do that. I just say he was a faggot-ass, bitch-ass, hoe-ass, fuckboy-ass, dick-in-the-booty-ass, LGBT, dick-sucking-ass nigga. That's all I said. I ain't say nothing else. Oh, yeah. And his granddaddy used to fuck the shit out of him. Matter of fact, his granddaddy probably made him fuck him. Anyway, whatever the case is, he's a fucking faggot, and he's the worst thing that happened to black people. So I said Barack Obama was the black bullet in a white gun, and that gun is fucking nuclear bomb. He's a nuclear bomb. See, we got different degrees of house niggas. We got the ones that are the worst of the worst. We got ones that are at least. We got people that work with us and shit who might go and snitch on your ass if you had took, you know, 15 extra minutes in your lunch break, or if you smoked cigarettes or whatever, you might have went outside and smoked a cigarette or some shit. You know, we got those type of those little goddamn 22s. You know, they shoot you in your leg and shit. You like, oh, that wasn't up with a little flesh wound. Where the bullet at? Oh, it's in my leg, but I feel all right. But see, you don't notice. That damn bullet started traveling. Kill your ass. And that's how they are. See, it might don't hurt you then, but it gets you later. But, hey, look here, brother and sisters. I'm going to get off this subject right here, because it wasn't my intention to get on the subject. I want to talk about the thing that happened in Detroit with a little girl. No, I think it was a little boy. Gun violence is taking its toll on us more now as it did back in the day. It's some sad shit, y'all. Chicago is losing its goddamn mind. Now, that's something else I want to ask. Since I talk about brothers in New York and where the hell they at, you know, where are the brothers in Chicago at? Where are the GDs, Vice Lords? Where are the brothers that run the gang culture in Chicago? The OGs now, I ain't talking about these old young-ass niggas. I ain't talking about the ASAPs and shit. Those faggot sissy boys. I'm talking about the OGs, the original gangsters. Where are they at speaking up on the shit that's going on inside the black community? Are you so much committed to your gang culture and your gang ties and your gang life that an atrocity can be committed against a little black boy and girl that you don't speak out against it? Are you so committed to straightening out a nigga who might have stepped on your motherfucking shoes at the club that you would go and you would shoot a house up and kill a little baby? This child right here was 8, but he's still a little baby, right? An 8-year-old child is a little baby, right? That's a baby. I got a caller want to come in the line. I'm about to bring you on, caller. Just let me read this right here. And then I'll bring you on. The headline says, Detroit child shot as he slept. Call a good boy. What else can you call an 8-year-old boy? He is a good boy. He's a baby, man. Police said an 8-year-old boy died after being shot at a home on the city's east side. Police said a bullet fired from outside went through a wall at about 1 a.m. Wednesday and struck Jakari Terrapin, who was rested in the upstairs bedroom. He was taken to a hospital and died. Several bullet holes were visible in the bricks and windows of an upstairs bedroom of the home. Neighbors said gunshots aren't unusual in the area, but they couldn't recall a child ever being killed. God damn. Three children, ages 10, 7, and 3. The boy who was killed was an innocent bystander, she said, adding that he would often play with her kids. This is the shit I'm talking about. It's just a tragedy, Spirit said. I'm not going to be able to sleep. Of course you're not going to be able to sleep. You know what? When I heard it the first time, I wasn't able to sleep. Whenever I hear it, I can't sleep. I hardly sleep right now at all because of shit like this. No arrests were immediately made, but Detroit police were speaking with a person of interest in the case. Detroit police officer Adam Madera said, an autopsy is scheduled for Thursday. Autopsy for what? What the fuck you gonna cut him up for? He died from a bullet. Bullet went through the damn brick of the home. Then that had to be a hell of a high power rifle, right? That wasn't no regular gun. Damn. 912, come in. You know what's a bad black car to take?
What's up, brother?
What's your
Mike?
Name? And what you got to Man, don't call me by my government, brother. Don't call me by my government. Oh, Lord. Now you're going to ask people to come and do something to me. Don't call me by my government, man.
My fault. Brother Black.
yes. What's up, brother? What's going on?
Oh, man, I'm listening to you go on your rampage, so I'll listen to you
man.
For hours. I'll let you go.
I'm so upset, man. If you got something you want to say, man, please go ahead and be my guest, brother, and speak up on something, because this thing right here get hard. Every week it get harder and harder when I speak about certain things, man. It kind of hurts. If you got something you want to say, man, speak up on, go ahead, brother.
Matter of fact, once I put my spiel, I want you to tell them about your incident with your cousin, with the realest thing he ever saw. You remember that conversation you had with me?
Go ahead and enlighten me a little bit, brother.
You know when he showed the YouTube video about the brother shooting?
That was on a world star hip hop video that he seen, and it was early in the morning. And he was like, "Hey man, let me show you something, boy. Shit right here, this is real shit right here." And so when I seen it, I just seen a brother like he was talking to a camera. And he was like, "Hey y'all, you know, blah blah blah, check this right here out." And he walked up to his other brother and he shot him and walked off like the shit wasn't nothing, right in front of a crowd of people. And that was my brother, actually. Said, "Man, that's the most realest shit I ever seen, big bro." That's what he said. That was the most realest shit that he ever seen. Somebody getting killed on camera.
Man, I want you to tell them how it affected you.
It was early in the morning.
Yeah, but you said it hurt you till you had to share some tears on that.
Yeah. It was early in the morning. And, you know, when you just wake up, you know, it's like we were talking, brother, in class about figuring out what reality, you know, get yourself together. When you wake up and sit on the edge of the bed and have to get yourself together for that first couple of seconds and realize that you're back in this plane of existence. But when he showed it to me and it was early in the morning, it felt like I was removed from out of myself and looking at myself. And at the same time, I felt like I was the one who got shot. But by being early in the morning, that shit had me sick the whole day. I didn't have the same script I usually have in doing the screenless work that I do. I didn't have the same cheery attitude I usually have throughout the day because it had, matter of fact, and then it was on a Friday. So it hurt me so bad, you know, that I had felt such a big, heavy burden of misery on my damn shoulders all that day. But it's strange and it's crazy the way that we transfer this negative energy to each other. Just like I said last week, you know, somebody can see something, like somebody get hurt or somebody get beat down, and then the first thing they'll say is, hey, man, you should have been there, man. You know? You understand what I'm saying, brother? It's like, you should have been there. You should have been there to see somebody get shot. You should have been there to see somebody get beat up. You should have been there to see, you understand what I'm saying? They'll tell you that you should have been there to see something negative. And then they'll say something like, man, that was the best fight I ever seen. Oh, man, he whooped his ass, bro. You should have seen it. Why should I have seen it? Why should I have been there? And you know what? Me reading this article about this little boy getting shot, I'm sorry to do that to people because I know somebody's listening and they're saying, damn, that hurt their heart. And I hope that it wasn't in the middle of, you know, going out to have a good time and I ruined it there by reading that, but I had to read it because this gun violence is getting ridiculous. It's more ridiculous now than it has been in the 90s and the early part of the 2000s. It's ridiculous.
Reason why I wanted you to say that or even expound on that is because this is the problem when you start talking about brothers, when you talk about Barack Obama, these shootings, what's going on in Africa, what's going on in Detroit. There's a serious disconnect with our people when you look at yourself and say that's happening to them. You're not looking at it as that's happening to me, those are my people, you know, my people still killing our people. Because, like you said with Barack Obama, you know, me and you don't have several discussions. You know, I don't have no love for that brother anyway. I can't even call him a brother.
You can't even call him a brother.
Because just like what I said when I shot this brother's walking down in the flea market, he saw a picture of Barack Obama dressed like the Joker on one of the DVDs. And he just went off. He like, man, why y'all do that? I said, Barack Obama was standing right here. You know what I do, brother? I'll stab him straight in the chest. That Joker almost went on his knee. Like, why you do that? Why you say that? I said, why would I have any feeling for a brother that killed 30,000 innocent black people? And let me rephrase innocent black people. Children and elderly every day from drone strikes. And this is your president that everybody prays, saying it's the first black president, and he ain't the first black president. It's been like seven black presidents. The first two presidents of the United States were black. So we need to get that out of our spill before we can start having all the sympathy and empathy for this cat. Because one of our sisters from Georgia, from Savannah, Cynthia McKinley, went after they killed Muammar Gaddafi and investigated what was going over there. This man was striking down villages that had nothing to do with nothing but sitting around, going on with their day. And you know what? The common entity that was common to all that, they look like me and you, Mike. This Joker was killing Africans that look like me and you. But they stayed in Libya. Same thing what you're saying about them Arabs. That's one of the reasons Muammar Gaddafi died. Muammar Gaddafi believed, and he said, that we cannot go far in the future without the black African. He believed that. He said he didn't even believe going into Mecca. He said, why can't we have a Mecca in Africa? So those Arab brothers had something against Muammar Gaddafi from the get-go. That's why they drug him down the street, because they didn't follow his belief in degrading the black man. A lot of people don't know that part. But that's another thing I say about Muammar Gaddafi. But the bottom line, your president, for weeks and days, on the average, killing 30,000. I'm talking about a day, Mike. That means if it's 30,000 a day and he quit Wednesday, that's 60,000 people. That's 60,000 black people that look like me and you that he killed from these drone strikes. Now, if you don't believe me, follow Cynthia McKinley and look at when she was talking to Alex Jones, the white boy that be putting this stuff out there. They be talking about this stuff all the time. So the white folks know about it, and they don't like it. Or they are plants that are trying to figure out what you know. But the bottom line is, the information is out there. They ain't hiding it. It's just not in your face every day, like on CNN. But these are the things that we have to look at, wonder about, why they using the blackface to infiltrate Africa. They want that land, they want that territory, they want the resources. And they don't want you to have nothing to do with it but to be a servant. They don't want you to command your resources. They want you to demand your rights, your liberties, or freedom of expression. These things are what countries are made for, or what communities are made for you to express yourself in your culture. These are the things that when America comes through, they just, hey, your stuff don't even matter no more. It's all about me and what we want, and you're going to do as we say. If not, going back to say, we're going to cut your resources off. We got to get to a point where we don't have to have to survive off of them and their money. They ain't got no resources. All they have is the so-quote-unquote money because we keep giving it to them. We give them our rubies. We give them our diamonds. We give them our platinum. We give them our gold. And then we fight amongst each other trying to sell it to them. Now, that's some stupid stuff right there.
Huh.
Everybody can get I'm going to fight you to sell it to them. We can all sell it to them and get paid.
Guess what, brother? Hey, that's like you said you went to the flea market and those jokers just stopped fighting and shit to try to sell you some oil. Vendor fighting vendor, but they both getting their stuff from the same place.
Yeah.
You know, and they both live inside the same house, actually. You know, and people are so, it's something that you was not saying, brother, that hit right on the head. People are so disconnected from Africa. They're like, you know, how Malcolm X say, you say you ain't left none in Africa? The shit, you left your mind in Africa. You know,
mm-hmm.
We connect, just connect, how to say, how can you hate, I'm at the place, damn. See, and you know what? This right here is a bad black culture attack. If I play another clip or another song, just because Brother Ismael is going to take it upon himself and bring up valid points that a brother has to really look at. We remove ourselves from Africa so much. Let me tell you something that happened to me today, brother, that I was delighted to take part in. I talked to an African today, man. I talked to an African. I bet a lot of people say, man, what the fucking big deal that is? You talk to Africans, so what, man? I talk to Africans. No, man. I had a conversation with an African, man. And the African wasn't coming like he was better than me. The African wasn't saying nothing, you know, that was putting me down as a person. You know, the African was cool as a fuck. And I want to get our brother a shout-out, a hand clap. Let me see, I don't got my music to play for him because I don't know what kind of music to listen to in Africa. I just do this thing right here. You know, that's all I know how to do. But anyway, man, you know, listening to the brother, you know, I'm like, man, I'm sitting talking to an African. And I'm like, man, I wish I could have put him on speakerphone and been, you know, like in the Black Messiahs get together, you know, and let all the brothers just talk and ask him questions and, you know. But you know one of the interesting things that the brother had told me, man?
What's up?
He did not know that slavery existed until he got older. He didn't know. The brother said he didn't know. And that was some amazing shit to me. He said they didn't have it inside their, he said they didn't do history inside their book. He said, but it
what?
Took him going around to different places to realize that we were slaves. Yep, his name is Brother King Lateef. Yep, King Lateef. Cool brother.
But see, this is what I'm saying. They disconnect from us because they don't tell them that we done built America and we don't know anything about them, how they built Africa to a certain degree, our legacy and our heritage. That's where we from. We don't know nothing about that. They give us a month. They give us a little couple of pages in world history, but everything else is about Europe and everybody else, how they pretty much railroaded us, and we celebrate it. And, you know, I look at anybody that celebrates Thanksgiving, and I look at them strange. I call this National Stab You in the Back Day. You telling me I give you my hand of brotherhood?
Say it one time, brother. Say it one. You call it what?
National Stab You in the Back Day. I put my hand out to help you survive, and you come stab me and kill family, my mother, my father, all my relatives, my dog, my cat. No, they probably kept some of them for they could keep them, you know.
Yeah, they killed our dog.
You see what I'm saying? But we conquered your land and put it down on paper. But we helped you survive. But every 4th Thursday, we get together around this table, and we give thanks. And we wasn't even at the table. I don't see how any African-descended people celebrate this holiday when we wasn't even sitting at the table. Except for the Native American blacks. And I don't see none of them celebrating it. So why should we celebrate it? And they ain't celebrating. And they were sitting at the table. But they always tell me it ain't about that. What is about then?
What is about that?
What was it about? How would you feel if you let your brother or sister come inside your house and next thing you know, you don't help them on their feet? And next time you speak to them, they just look at you like they don't even know you. Or it's going, you look at them like, man, it's like that. You gave a brother some money and help, or the sister some money to help their kids or help them on their way, to buy some food, and they walk away from you. How would you feel? I know how you would feel. You would take it a certain type of way. Matter of fact, you'd probably be one of them stories you see. Another brother or sister got shot. Why? Because he done got his emotions all into it. Because he done helped his brother and sister, and the brother done walked away from him. You would feel a certain type of way if that happened to you. But every Thursday, on the 4th in November, we celebrate that. I have no partakers in that. Just like going back to what we said.
Hey, brother, hold on for a minute, brother. I just celebrated because I like to eat the stuff. Hold on for a minute, brother. I just celebrated because that's the only time that grandma made them good chitlins.
Man, there are other days of the week that we can get together and celebrate something. We got our own national heroes and sheroes that we can celebrate. One, we get on those days to celebrate our people. Let's celebrate those people. We can't celebrate these holidays celebrating crackers conquering us. What kind of foolishness is that?
Yeah, that's crazy, right?
We got the second largest. Check this out now. This is some history somebody hit me with, and I kind of knew some, just a little top phase of it, but not as deep as what this brother was telling me. And I said, well, you know what? Then I saw the link of it. I said, yeah, I can see that. We had the second largest celebration of St. Patrick's Day in Savannah.
Man,
so back when I was a kid, you know, back in the day, we used to get together in middle school. Last time I've been celebrating, that was in middle school. I'm like, man, this ain't for me. But do you know the fraternities of your police order are most dominated by the Irish and the Germans? Look at your fire stations. Look at your... And they get the highest position, sheriff. This is what we celebrate. We celebrate any holiday.
O'Malley. O'Malley, Gallanly. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And these are the brothers and sisters that, you know, come out here celebrating this thing. Again, these holidays. How do we look at these things in the light of our existence.
Brother, I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you a story of the last time I went down and celebrated St. Patrick's Day. As a kid, I went down to River Street to celebrate. Matter of fact, I went this year, to be honest with you. Yeah, me and a couple of brothers just went this year. And you know what? Let me tell you the funny thing about it, Brother Ishmael. It was more black people down there than it was white people.
Yep.
There was more black people down there, downtown and River Street in Savannah. Was more black people than white folks. But the last time I went before then, I was like 17 years old. I was 18. Me and my cousin was together, and we went there, and we were trying to get something to eat. So the place, the business that we tried to go into, it was too packed. So when we turned around and walked out the line, two white dudes walked up and said, "What y'all doing down here, you fucking nigger?" And see, back then, a cracker would call you nigger quicker than your goddamn hat can drop off your head during a 30-mile-per-hour gust of wind. So the cracker called us niggers. Two big grown-ass crackers call us niggers, right? So these white dudes had heard the shit. They was in the Navy. And, you know, because back then they used to have the ships and stuff ported down on River Street, you know, either a submarine or they have a naval ship ported down there so that, you know, soldiers and shit can, you know, celebrate or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so the soldiers had, you know, said, "Hold up a minute, what you had said? You call him a what?" And it was this black dude, man, I'll never forget. He said, "Hold up a minute, I'll take care of this right here." So he went to the white dude. He said, "What you had said?" He said, "You call me one." He said, "You call me, calling a young brother one, you call me one." And the dude had called him a nigga. A yellow nigga, that's what he called him, a yellow nigga. So the dude was high yellow. Man, next thing you know, man, I read that boy took and knocked his ass out. Next thing you know, a big fight had happened, right? So the police came through and grabbed me and my cook. They had everybody sitting down. But for some reason, the last two people that they had in handcuffs was me and my cousin. They walked us up the stairs from off of River Street, took the handcuffs off me, and told us not to come back again. So I'm telling the dude, we ain't had nothing to do with it. The dude called us a nigga and this man. I'm telling the black police this. I'll never forget. It was a Chinese policeman, a black policeman, and a white policeman. So I called the black policeman brother. And he said, "I'm not your brother. I'm officer blah, blah, blah." And so I'm talking, right? Because I want to go back down there, you know. So there was a lot going on down at the time. And I said, "Hey, brother," I said, "Brother, I don't cause trouble." By the time I said, "Hey, brother, I don't call," and as soon as the word choked from my mouth, brother, he slapped the shit out of me. This police must have been 280 pounds to 300 pounds. He was a big, about 6'4". He was a big, big dude. Man, he slapped me so fucking hard. I thought my damn mouth had left off my face. And he said, "Little nigga, don't you ever in your motherfucking life call me your brother." He slapped me so hard, Brother Ishmael, that I felt it for a second until he grabbed me and called me a little nigga. When he called me a little nigga, all the pain and everything of that slap he gave me went away. And it was replaced by a deep hurt that I couldn't describe, because there was five people up there. It was me, my cousin, the white police, the Chinese police, and the black police. And out of all three of them, the one that had treated me the most illest, the one who had called me a fucking nigger, and the one who had put their hands on me, slapped the shit out of me, then he jacked up and choked me, was the brother. And the only reason he did it was because I called him brother. And to show the white man and the Asian man that he was more down with them than he was with me, he choked the shit out of me. And guess who had stopped him? The Asian man. The Asian man stopped him. All I can remember after that right there, brother, I said, man, you might as well go ahead and kill me now. You might as well go ahead and kill me. You already done killed me on the inside. You might as well go ahead and kill me now. And I burst out crying. You know what? All my listeners listening in, I don't have no shame in saying that fucking story. Because I grew up as a man at that moment. My pride was so hurt. And you know what, Brother Ishmael? That's when I realized that all black people were not your brother. I ran into house niggas and Uncle Tom's before, but at the end, they'll either do some shit to kind of show they still was black. But this motherfucker, he made sure that he exercised his whiteness in front of the cracker and in front of the Asian dude. The Asian dude was looking like, what the fuck? The white dude was looking like... It's just crazy, man. But I'm just saying, see, that's the type of thing we have to deal with and that we have to be worried about when we deal with the police. Yeah, look, we had a black police chief in Savannah. Hey, look, what the fuck he did? Remember they had the strangest shootings going on around here? And he got on a news conference, and what he said, he assured the white citizens. Remember that now. He assured the white citizens that they had nothing to worry about, that the crime was just isolated to black on black.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a hard pill to swallow, but...
He stopped shouting me. He did stop shouting. He stopped shouting.
You know... Shit, obvious to us, man. Sure, it, you know, you know, like I said, you know, it shocked me on the
floor.
You
shocked me, bro.
It hurt me on a small level. You see what I'm saying? You know, when I'm talking about trying to do things for self, and the brother say, you know, you can't do nothing with the white folks. You know, it just throws me off guard. I'm like, are we in the same group discussion or on the same level? What's that? Trying to get things going, and you come up with that? I mean, that's the only thing you come with? Is to include them when they're not including you? They don't get together and discuss us. Oh, I mean, they do discuss us, but they don't put us in the equation. Like, hey, let me call brother so-and-so and so-and-so, brother Malik and Abdullah and everybody, and see what they say about our progress moving forward. They don't do that. Now, they address what they need to about you, then come to you with it, and you go begging for the scraps once they understand where the money's at and who pockets is going into. Let me call you right back, Brother Mike. I got to.
Nah. You ain't call me. This hit me back. I'm ready to hurry back up because the bad black cause attack won't be on forever. Anyway, that was my brother Ishmael. Call me by my government name, my 8 or 9 goddamn times. Nah, everybody know my government name. Damn. You listen to the bad black cause attack. But. I almost forgot about that police slapping the shit out of me. And two, I just not thought about that shit. He slapped the hell out of me, y'all. I ain't lying. And the thing about it is, it hurt me so bad. And you know, we they showed that police that dude getting choked out by the police. Shit. I done had a chokehold put on me before. On more than one occasion. I done had some fucked up ass things happen to me from the police. Just because I'm black, just because I was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and also because I didn't know how to play my position. And what I mean by that is keeping my mouth closed at times when I need to keep it closed. Because I didn't realize the power that these people really had, that they can use to take everything that I have away from me, which is my freedom, my liberty, and my dignity. I'm going to play this little clip because, you know, we really hate our foundation, so we need to get better with that, y'all. This right here is Savannah Black Conscious Attack.
Why should the black man in America concern himself, since we've been away from the African continent for 400 years, 300 or 400 years? Why should we concern ourselves? What impact does what happened to them have upon us? Number one, first you have to realize that up until 1959, Africa was dominated by the colonial powers, and by the colonial powers of Europe having complete control over Africa, they projected the image of Africa negatively. They projected Africa always in a negative light. Jungles, savages, cannibals, nothing civilized. And naturally, it was so negative until it was negative to you and me. And you and I began to hate it. We didn't want anybody to tell us anything about Africa, and much less call us an African. And in hating Africa and hating the African, we ended up even hating ourselves without even realizing it. Because you can't hate the roots of a tree and not hate the tree. You can't hate your origin and not end up hating yourself. You can't hate Africa and not hate yourself. And you show me one of these people over here who have been thoroughly brainwashed, who has a negative attitude toward Africa, and I'll show you one that has a negative attitude toward himself. You can't have a negative attitude toward yourself, a positive attitude toward yourself, and a negative attitude toward Africa at the same time. To the same degree that your attitude, that your understanding of, an attitude toward Africa becomes positive, you will find that your understanding of and your attitude toward yourself will also become positive. And this is what the white man knows. So they very skillfully made you and me hate our African identity, our African characteristics. And you know yourself that we have been a people who hated our African characteristics. We hated our hair. We hated the shape of our nose. We wanted one of those long, dog-like noses, you know. Yeah. We hated the color of our skin. Hated the blood of Africa that was in our veins. And in hating our features and our skin and our blood, why, we had to end up hating ourselves. And we hated ourselves. Our color became to us a chain. We felt that it was holding us back. Our color became to us like a prison, which we felt was keeping us confined, not letting us go this way or that way. And we felt that all of these restrictions were based solely upon our color, and the psychological reaction to that would have to be that as long as we felt imprisoned or chained or trapped by black skin, black features, and black blood, that skin and those features and that blood that was holding us back automatically had to become hateful to us. And it became hateful to us. It made us feel inferior. It made us feel inadequate. It made us feel helpless. And when we fell victim to this feeling of inadequacy or inferiority or helplessness, we turned to somebody else to show us the way. We didn't have confidence in another black man to show us the way, or black people to show us the way. In those days, we didn't. We didn't think a black man could do anything but play some horn, you know, some sound, and make you happy with some songs. And in that way, but when an inferior thing, where our food, clothing, and shelter was concerned, and our education was concerned, we turned to the man. We never thought in terms of bringing these things into existence for ourselves. We never thought in terms of doing things for ourselves, because we felt helpless. And what made us feel helpless was our hatred for ourselves. One of the things that made the black Muslim movement grow was its emphasis upon things African. This was the secret to the growth of the black Muslim movement. African blood, African origin, African culture, African ties. And you'd be surprised. We discovered that deep within the subconscious of the black man in this country, he's still more African than he is American. He thinks that he's more American than African because the man is jiving him and the man is brainwashing him every day, telling him, you're an American, you're an American. Man, how could you think you're an American and you have never had any kind of American treat over here? You have never, never. 10 men can be sitting at a table eating, you know, dining. And I can come and sit down where they're dining. They're dining. I got a plate in front of me, but nothing is on it. because all of us are sitting at the same table, are all of us diners? I'm not a diner until you let me dine. Then I become a diner. Just being at the table with others who are dining doesn't make me a diner. And this is what you got to get in your head here in this country. Just because you're in this country doesn't make you an American. And no, you got to go farther than that before you can become an American. You got to enjoy the fruits of Americanism. And you haven't enjoyed those fruits. You've enjoyed the thorns. You've enjoyed the thistle. But you have not enjoyed the fruits. No, sir. So I point these things out, brothers and sisters, so that you and I will know the importance in 1965 of being in complete unity with each other, harmony with each other, and not letting the man maneuver us into fighting one another. I say that again that I'm not a racist. I don't believe in any form of segregation or anything like that. I'm for the brotherhood of everybody, but I don't believe in enforcing brotherhood upon people who don't want it. As long as we practice brotherhood among ourselves, and then others who want to practice brotherhood with us, we practice it with them also, we're for that. But I don't think that we should run around trying to love somebody who doesn't love us. Thank you.
Malcolm X. I was Malcolm X says, you can't hate the root of a tree. You know, and like I said earlier, we talked to a brother from Africa, and we had a great dialogue going on. I was happy. I was so happy. I felt like I was to a long lost brother that I never had met before. That's how happy I was. Or a long lost mother, a father. I'm sorry, it's just, that was just the feeling that I had when I talked to this brother. I was so happy. A lot of us, we take for granted of our African connection. And I know some of y'all might say, well, Mr. Savannah Black, all the Africans, they treat us like shit. Yeah, you know what? I have met a couple of Africans that have tried to treat me like shit. But after I break that shit down on their ass and let their ass know of the backward state of thinking that they are in, and I drop a little bit of that knowledge on their ass and challenge their Islamism, I challenge their Christianism, then guess what? We have a clearer dialect because they see I'm not like the average African in America. I'm not like the average indigenous person from the States. But a lot of them, they get fed propaganda telling them of how barbaric we are. They get fed a lot of propaganda that says that we kill each other, that we are unlearned, that we are stupid and dumb, basically. It's the shit that on goddamn missionaries. It's the position that the missionaries alternating them with the crack of Jesus and the love of the white man. And those Africans bite into that shit, hook, line, and sinker. I ask that brothers and sisters that's listening to this podcast, if you want to take a vacation, why don't you go to Africa instead of going on a fucking cruise, instead of going to the Bahamas or to Jamaica? Why not go on a cruise? Not my fault. Not a cruise. Last time I took a cruise, brother, it wasn't good. But why not go on a cruise? I'm saying it again. Why not take a trip to Africa and get back with your roots? would be so enlightening, that you will not see the state again. These crackers have brainwashed not only them in Africa, but they have brainwashed us in the States. We think that if we go to Africa, we're going to be in a dry desert land or even in a fucking jungle with brothers and sisters with bones in their nose and ears and shit, dancing around a big-ass pot, spears, ooka-faka. I'm talking about saying shit like that. The rule is, whenever you show Africa, always show Africa in a bad light. You never, ever show Africa in a light that's good. You never show the beautiful beaches in Africa. You never show the beautiful waterfalls in Africa. None of that. I got a call on the line about to bring you in. 912, what's up? You on Spam Black Talk today?
Yeah, listen. Hey, Spam.
You on Savannah Black Cops to the tank? I guess he ain't had nothing to say. Fuck him. But anyway, they never show you the beautiful cities in Africa. They never show you the beautiful people in Africa. Just to say the name Africa, it does something. They never show you nothing beautiful about Africa whatsoever. What you get instead of Africa? A hungry child, malnutrition, with a big stomach, the little arms, little legs, the enlarged head. They always show you the ugliest thing they can of Africa. Y'all have to start looking at this fucking TV and see what is it that these crackers trying to do. Why is it that the cracker portraying Africa to be so ugly? Think about it. See, they know that if you were to see Africa in a different light, then maybe you would think about pulling your resources together and going to Africa and trying to build with the brothers and sisters over in Africa. Ah. See, they knew if you knew about the wondrous things of Africa, that you would take your little pension that you get from your job, which might be $30,000 or $40,000, because that's all they're giving you these days unless you come in from a high-powered job. But we come into our 401k early. But if you know that you can take that money and go to Africa and live beautifully to the day you die, then guess what? You'll go to Africa. If you knew that you can take $10,000 and build you a beautiful-ass house over in Africa, why not? But see, the crackers don't want you to know that. They don't want you to see that. They want you to think that Africa is so messed up, that Africa is so war-torn, that if you go there, you will either die from the fighting or you will catch a disease from the Ebola or you will starve to death. See, that's the trick of the cracker. A lot of us don't understand and realize it's the trick of the cracker. think that everything that we see from the cracker is the truth. But you have to understand, you have to look, and you have to realize that the same people that's giving you the truth is the same people that gave you the lies. You're going off a system that's said to you, I keep saying this shit over and over and over again. You refuse to believe Mrs. Savannah Black. You would rather believe the cracker. And the cracker don't got no love for you. Just because you met one motherfucker that might have hooked you up with a job. Just because you met one motherfucker that might have had came and spoke up for you or let you spill out of their house and sleep in their fucking garage or because your kids play with their kids, you want to take their behavior and apply it to the whole white race. And what I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters, is the system of white supremacy can give a fuck less about you. The system of white supremacy hates you. The system of white supremacy would do anything and everything it possibly can to send you down a road that has nothing but your demise waiting at the end of it. What the fuck is the matter with you that you don't want to open your eyes and realize that this cracker do not care for you? What is it that you, is this what? You listen to Savannah Black Constant Attack, trying to get y'all to understand. This cracker don't care about y'all at all. The system of white supremacy don't have your best interest at heart. If you got somebody that's doing good, then that's one person. One out of point. Not 1%, not 2%, not 10%, but one out of 0.00001. 2, 3, 4, 5. The other black people are struggling, financially downtrodden, replaced by a new labor workforce. And you still refuse. You refuse. And it's something that is in your consciousness that's stopping you from looking and seeing that this cracker don't give a fuck about you. Mike trying to tell you, you don't want to listen. Every time somebody try to tell y'all, y'all don't want to listen. Y'all refuse to believe that y'all cracker daddy don't care about y'all. Y'all refuse to believe that this cracker don't have y'all best interest at heart because he threw y'all some candy. No, he gave y'all a lollipop after he shot y'all in the arm, some candy out of the candy dish after he filled in the filling in your teeth. Y'all refuse to believe that shit. It's just so crazy and so sick that black people, after all this long time, after all these things that we went through with this dirty-ass cracker, that y'all refuse to see just the atrocities that he have done. I got to call him up to bring him. Tell me something good. You on Savannah Black Conscious Attack. What's your name and where you call up from? 813.
How you doing, Mr. Savannah Black? This is Tria. I'm calling out of Tampa.
What's up, Tria? What's going on? How you doing? Tria, please just go ahead and just talk and say something because I'm emotionally. And I'm mentally, right now at this point, I'm drained, Tria. I'm really drained, sister. Because it's like...
I feel you, brother. I feel you.
This is simple ABC shit. It's the ABC shit, right?
Right. But if
why is it that I'm talking like I'm crazy? It's nothing the matter with me. I keep trying to tell you about the system. I keep trying to tell you the real shit that's going on. But you, go ahead, sister.
Well, first of all, you guys gotta know that it's been they've been at this for over 1,000 years. Prior to the Caucasian was the Arab. They've been enslaving, dividing, and stripping us of who we are for over 1,000 years. So, those of us that are awakened, we're still a fraction considering the time span this happened. So it's exhausting and it's lonely, and you've been out of the minute. So it's a walk. You know how when you dedicate your life to this, it ain't for you. It's for everybody else. So it's gonna be draining and taxing. But then you have those bright moments like we sat down with the African brother.
Look, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And guess what? And guess what? He was a comedian, too. He was funny as hell.
See, that's what's up. And that's building. That lets you know that we get it on some level everywhere. So anything's possible. I wrote a piece that fits exactly with what you're going with tonight if you want to hear it.
Hey, I want to hear whatever it is that you got to say. I was waiting for you. Go ahead, Miss Tria. Please.
So, rumor has it that I have a bad habit of saying the wrong thing. OMG, Tria, you so mean. I mean, you can't say things like that. Gotta have more tact, more finesse. Lace that turd up in a frilly dress, because everyone knows it's not what you say, it's how you say it. Which is why hundreds of years later, we still French kissing our racists, trying to lay claim to documents that never apply to us since we hit the docks. I meant to say, we shall overcome. I'm sorry, y'all. My mouth is still a work in progress. I have mental diabetes, and my psyche can no longer process all that sugar. It becomes bile, turns sour, and churning in my gut, and I can no longer cower, letting apathy slide. White supremacy is our greatest enemy, and the supremacists no longer hide behind hoodies, white gowns, but in the recesses of our minds of the black and brown, crawled out of the mud, just bathed, thirsting for blood into full-grown beasts that twist the minds of us and causes us to feast on our own flesh to fill its belly, keeping the first Sabbath as a reminder to be kinder, gentler, docile, kneel down and pray. More like bend down, swing back, and kiss your own ass away. Because the way things are headed, if we don't get it, we will regret it. So I found my voice. Not because I like being next to bat, it's just because I don't have a goddamn choice. Because every time I ask what we doing, I don't hear no noise. Y'all, the beast is killing and caging and raping our boys. The U.S. juvenile justice system is the largest one in the world. I said the beast is killing and caging and raping our girls. But we still talking about what the white man doing. Arguing about who's the blackest black in ancient ruin. Sitting in pseudo-intellectual coffee shops and focus groups while outside a goddamn storm is brewing. The volcanic gods are angry and they must be appeased. And they're demanding the virgin blood of our seeds that we keep fucking each other to bring into this world that we can't fucking fix. And yet you're focused on the profanity in the mix? Shit. I'm just getting started because it took me 32 years to wake up pissed and I'm standing on my freezing point solid. And if I don't get this bile off my stomach, I just may vomit, turn violent, take to the streets and start a one-woman riot. But if I did, you'd all just remain silent and I'd be hauled off, labeled a lunatic, sitting thorazined up off of 22nd, and then who can I help? So I just try to compose myself, channel it. Use what I can, how I can to dismantle it. Spend the rest of my days bringing it down brick by brick. Hand out these clothes, teach these babies to read, and raise this queen. So when you think what I'm saying is mean, understand that my spirit is fresh. I won't hold y'all up any longer. Thank you for listening. I just had to get some shit off my chest.
That was beautiful, sister. That was that right there
it's
was
to the evening, so.
Huh?
I said, spoke to the evening. You know how the universe bring everything together. I was feeling you tonight, so.
No, so that wasn't me. That was the universe.
Right. It bring it all together.
That was grandma and great-grandma them and granddaddy them and, you know, the ones that had to run into the swamps and live into the swamps, you know what I'm saying, to escape the oppressor's whip. That was from them. That was beautiful. Hey, look. Girl, I might say, you need an agent?
I might one day.
Look here, you know what? And see, last week when you called, I was on something else. But I was about to put you out there, put you on the spot, because I remember you said that you did poetry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. You know, for the first time when you called in a while back.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I was saying what it was. The theme was, what's it, I Need Love?
yeah, you used using your feelings that night. That's all right.
Yeah.
The universe brought it then, too, because it's all about balance. This thing get weary, but we listening. Somebody listening. Ain't nobody else.
Somebody. You know what? And you know that thing about you know you're not crazy. We know we're not crazy.
I don't know. Some days I don't know. Some days I really do. You know what? Some days I really.
You know what? But you know, one thing I have never done. I have never said I didn't want. I did. Let me explain that. I did one time. One time I said I didn't want it. One time I said, why me? You know, and I was going off of the Christian dialect that I was getting from people. Then when like I told you, it was like, oh, that Jesus calling you. Jesus wants you this. Jesus wants you that. And I said, man, I got to go to that church. And be lame and be boring. I won't be able to be me. I gotta be what the hell they want me to be. And see, that's the thoughts I was having.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So what happened was when I had said I didn't want it, it left. And with that, what left was a part of me. My essence felt like it left with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I denied the spirit. And see, that's what a lot of us do. We deny the spirit. But see, we think at certain times when the spirit calls us, it's the spirit of Jesus. Because that's what we've been, you know, we've been bred to believe.
Yeah,
bread. That's a hard word to use. I didn't want to use that word, but yeah, we've been bred. Here it is. We believe that this cracker is Jesus. Because be honest with you, Brill, and this right here never failed with anybody. If I tell them to close their eyes, and I say, all right, they close their eyes, I'm going to say a word, and I want you to tell me the first thing that comes to your mind. All right, on the count of three, I'm going to say, you got your eyes closed? Yeah, I got my eyes closed. All right, one, two, three. Jesus, tell me what you've seen. You know, and 9 times out of 10, you know what they're gonna say? They seen the white boy with the long flowing hair. How can we say cutting the bob? Hey, look, I'm a very conscious person. You know, I might don't sound like it. I might don't speak up on certain shit because I believe that it's a platform for everything. And we have people that come on every day of the week just about, you know, putting down that knowledge, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's different than what I'm saying. You know, they'll tell you something about, you know, Egypt. They'll tell you something about the indigenous people of America. They'll tell you something about, you know, a lot of things that, you know, you might have studied offhand. I might have studied offhand. But it's like I told my brother a couple of weeks ago. I'm right here at the flat line. And I'm at the flat line for a reason because
I want people to see, hey, man, goddamn, wake the hell up. Can't you see what these people are doing to you? And then after they wake up, or they you know what I'm saying, start rubbing some of the crust from out their eyes, and they say, well, what to do next? Guess what I'm going to say? I'm going to say, huh, call Bria. Hey, you understand what I'm saying? I'm gonna point to them, somebody they can go to and have a conversation with. Because for me, guess what? Everything was trial and damn error. Trial and error.
But everybody's journey is going to be trial and error. Now yours may have been a little more difficult as more outlets are available, but everybody's spiritual journey has to be, everybody's conscious journey has to be trial and error, because it's unique unto the individual. So it has to be trial and error. I was speaking with a friend the other day, and I gave an analogy of where, how my journey has gone. So you go down the road. I'm a human, right? Trees are human. I'm going down the road. I come across a turtle. I see the turtle. Turtle look cool. Me and the turtle sit down right at the face. Turtle teaches me how to use my shell as protection and when to come out of it. I learn from the turtle, but I can't stay with the turtle because I'm not a turtle. So I take my lesson I learned from the turtle, and I go up the road a little bit, and I come into a giraffe. And the giraffe teaches me how to see above everything, how to look above what's going on the lower level. So now I know how to. I know how to hide. I know how to protect myself, and I know how to see above the lower level. And I can't hang out with the giraffe, no matter how cool the giraffe is. I can't hang out here. So I go down the road and I come by a lake. I see a fish. Fish teach me how to swim, how to process, how to live on the water. So as I go along, I learn all these lessons from all of these animals, creatures, i.e., people, but I'm not them. So I can't stay where they are because you got to keep the journey. So everybody's journey going to be trial and error just like that. Everybody come along, because I had to learn that because I have a attachment for people. So that's one of the first lessons you have to learn, is to not have an attachment to people. But people going to come and go. People going to come and sound bite. They're going to try to listen to the message and not the messenger. A lot of times you have to do that. So everybody going to be trial and error.
You know, some people, they have, like earlier I was talking about Chicago, I was talking about New York, and there's a couple other places that I wanted to throw in there, but I just was just mainly focused on Chicago, New York, and basically Detroit. You know, when you hear a lot of some of your favorite teachers, and you hear some of their students, these street soldiers and scholars, they're coming from out of Chicago, they're coming from out of New York, and they're coming from out of Detroit. But when you see these injustices going on in these cities, you never see these brothers getting together, the community. I know, you know, they don't want to do no marches, but they don't do no type of protest whatsoever that's visible on social media that you can see to see what these brothers are doing. And a lot of them tell me, you know, they know where I'm coming from, and they know the things that I know. And they're like, well, damn, brother, why you... You know, you focus on that, on the lower level stuff, when you should be picking up on things, you know what I'm saying, at a higher level to give people enlightenment. Enlightenment. You know, and I'm like, man, look, when you give people enlightenment, they become cowards.
Yeah.
Not everybody, but you understand what I'm saying? They become cowards.
But not only that. That's the disconnect in the conscious community. That's why, because when I came into the understanding, you know, being in the South, you do have to be, even if you on social media. So when I came into the understanding that there's a whole community of this, I'm like, all of these people claim to be conscious? Why is this not a movement? Why is this not huge? And then you figure out why it's not huge. First of all, it's 1,001 ideologies, and everybody can't line up on it. I don't understand why even in the midst of those ideologies, we can't all line up under the same basic things, because we all want those, no matter how eloquently we may rephrase it. But then you also have a disconnect where when people get into their ideologies, they wag their fingers, shake their head, and look down their nose upon those coming in or just curious or completely still asleep.
and you can't live that kind of life. So there's always the fact that you stay, it's not that you stay in lower level, it's that you remember that there's a lower level. And there has to be a connector. Because if everybody who gets them a little bit of knowledge go sit up on cloud nine, while everybody else on the ground, there's a whole bunch of sky trees and all in between that ain't nobody in because we not connected. How you uplift your brother if you don't remember where he at? If you don't remember to love people where they are or understand or have empathy for where people are, then how you impart wisdom if you talking on a whole nother level? I was listening to music tonight, so with being conscious, of course, your taste in music changes, right? So I was listening to music that I was just thinking about that I came across years ago because I wasn't aware of any of the terminology, wording, or meaning. I thought some of my favorite artists had lost their mind. You're crazy. But now that I have an understanding, I'm going back to music and it's brand new. So, no, it's good. I like the fact that you first of all, keep abreast on everyday issues, because that's the issue, too. Sometimes people get so wrapped up in not listening to media that they don't even know what's going on outside of their book. So that's the good thing, too. And it keeps it on a level for those who don't know anything at all can be introduced into something good. And everybody got their niche in the movement. Everybody can't be everything. Everybody got their niche in the movement. And that's your gift, to make it palatable for the layman, to make the everyday person be able to understand what's really going on.
You know what, Sister Brill, somebody had told me, man, you need to change that shit to Savannah Black Attack. I said, you know what, I might just do change that shit to Savannah Black Attack. Cause, man, you just talking about the shit that everybody already know about. I said, you know what, people might know about it. I said, but they don't think about it to the scope of what it really is, you know. And that was a beautiful analogy that you came up with when you had said about the giraffe and the turtle and the fish, you know. And that's what people don't understand. They don't understand that you have all these different schools that you need to go through, but you do not need to sit there and bask in that shit. You need to get what it is that you're supposed to get out of it, the main thing, and move on. But
right.
Some people, they don't understand that. But then when they get a certain amount of knowledge, what they want to do is what I call battle rap.
Mm-hmm.
You know battle rap, right?
Yeah,
Jay-Z versus Nas.
It turned into a hobby.
Exactly.
It's a hobby. It's a gimmick.
Exactly. So when they have the, I remember, about 2 years ago, they had the debate with Sadie and Polite. And it was like, oh, man, this right here is going to be the debate of all debates and this and that, you know. And they had pay-per-view. They had pay-per-view,
wow.
You know, and they had all the flyers up. They had the little videos up on Facebook and the videos up on YouTube, and the shit was just so fast. Oh, shit. Now, look, this thing was getting hyped up like Mike Tyson versus Glennis Lewis. Type of, you know, it was getting hyped up, right? I said, man, boy, this thing right here going to be good as a mug and this and that. Man, of course, going to go at it. But what they did was they put some knowledge out there, but they destroyed each other so much. I see you, 661. They destroyed each other so much in the debate that if I was a person just coming into conscious, what I would have did was, because I don't have an objective mind, I would have had stuck with the person that I felt that ran the debate. And with that right there being said, is if I would have had, you know, felt that Polite had won the debate, I would have had, you know, started calling myself in the lobby. You understand what I'm saying? And not fostering away from that school. And that's what a lot of them brothers do. They walk up and they be like, hey, yo, son, what's up? What's up, B? Yeah, God, you know, I'm with the house of consciousness. Okay, well, shit, I'm a Hebrew Israelite. Yo, what's up? Come on, man, let's battle. The next thing you know, they start debating so hard and so heavy, you know what I'm saying? And then what they're doing is they're turning people who looking for something to hold on to away. They're like, damn, they're doing the same thing. They're doing the same thing here that they did at the church. My point being,
exactly.
I walked into a
That's
church one day, and the pastor says, where you come from? Down the street at so-and-so AME? You about to see some real preaching today. He's talking shit about the church down the street. Mm-hmm. Instead of them coming together and you know what I'm saying, forming an alliance and sewing up and making the neighborhood better, they going, they ego fighting. The ego, they got their egos in the way. I got a call I'm about to bring in 661. 661, you're on Savannah Black Conscious Chat. What's your name and where you calling from, 661?
Peace, peace, Brother Savannah. What's going on?
Brother, what's up? What's up?
What's going on, man? Brother L, what's going on? What's going on?
Oh,
yeah, the switchboard.
Tony L, what's up?
Not much, not much, family. What's going on, man? Not much.
Man, not much. You heard us? You heard us? You heard us? You heard us? You heard us?
Yeah, I heard that poetry she dropped, man. I was feeling that. I was definitely feeling that. See, sister, how are you?
How you doing, brother?
I'm all right. Yeah, I was digging the poetry, man.
Thank you.
Brother Savannah, you can bless you?
Go ahead, say it one more time, brother.
Did you get the video I sent you?
Did you send it on my inbox? Did you send it on the chat room?
I think I sent it to you on the Facebook. I tagged you. It was part of the internet challenge you was talking about earlier. It's a young sister in a pot of boiling water and throwing it on her brother.
Oh, you talking about the Facebook challenge?
Yeah, you was building on that earlier in the show. So I sent that to you. I don't know if you got it.
No, I'm gonna look and see right now. I should have me check it out. Look into my yeah, brother. But see that's another phrase I was talking about earlier. So I was talking about the Facebook challenges they be having. You know, the Facebook challenges. Where they
yeah,
were taking
it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like. It's boiling hot water, and she throws it on her brother. It's not funny.
But that's because we are drones. We could be a bunch of monkeys at times. Monkey see, monkey do. It could be it's collective foolishness is the rain of the day. If one person does it, it becomes a fad. No matter how dangerous, silly, or ignorant it could be, It will happen. And people get defensive when you say, why are you doing that? And I could say something as simple as, and sometimes I get on my soapbox, but I learn that everybody got what they got going on. So sometimes I'll simply say, I'm not with that. And people get offended at that. Why are you offended because I don't want to do it? Why are you offended because I don't find that funny? It happens all the time, especially in my job. Look at this video, and I'm like, that child just passed out. That's not funny.
It's so dangerous because a lot of them they can lose so much oxygen to the brain that they would either become mentally retarded or they would become vegetable because you know. When you lose oxygen to the brain, that right there is what bring on a lot of these behaviors that, you know, the fetus goes through. And then when the child come out, what happened with the child? The child is what? They call mentally retarded?
The fetus
didn't receive enough oxygen to the brain. You're right.
They already got that issue.
You're right, too. Look, I've seen one video where it was four of them on the bed. Four. Four of them did it at the same time. And guess what it's called? It's called Space Monkey.
Wow.
Space Monkey. It's called a Space Monkey Challenge. Now, it's bad enough. White people use the monkey as the national animal to, you know, call black people when it comes to animals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now they got this little thing called space monkey where they breathe and breathe and breathe and hold their breath and get their chest pushed in, and then they pass out. And a couple of kids have died from it. But I see the water, brother Tony L. I'm not laughing. Hey, brother, was that a challenge or what?
Yeah, that was a challenge, I think, from WorldStar. So I've seen a couple of videos like that on WorldStar. What's that game, knockout game, where they just ran people out in the street?
Yeah.
And then I've seen that one right there with the water. Did you see the picture of it? They just show you the water. It's not until you start
the pot
on it. Yeah, and then you see she's actually boiling it, sitting there giggling and whatnot. And, you know, her brother's outside. He's not even paying any attention. And she just throws the hot water, boiling, scalding hot water. Oh, my God. Like, wow.
Damn.
I don't understand.
That's sick.
Hot water. Yeah. I don't know if you watched
you know,
it, but you...
No, I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna watch it at the
It's not that long.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it in a second, man. It sounds like I'd be laughing, right? But I just kinda like try to get from this being upset and
getting emotional about
this shit. It's crazy. They're using these challenges. Remember, brother, when they first had the challenges, people had, like, the jumping jack challenge. They had, like, something, you know, to get you fit and right and ready. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But then they switched it up and changed it up and started adding all these other little different little elements to it. And now black people are the new jackasses.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
We worse than jackasses. We do it for free. At least some white boys got paid.
You're right, sister.
He's paying ourselves
pretty
up
much.
For free.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're right. Steve-O them from jackass looking at us said, damn!
Wow.
They say my name in the white jackass.
I don't know. I heard you mention something about New York earlier, New York and Chicago. What was up with that? I kind of stepped out the room.
I was talking about all those black organizations that rooted in Chicago and New York and in Detroit. I was talking about, you know, all these different, all right, like, let's face it. A lot of our literature that we got and our media that we got from back in the days, it came from New York, it came from Chicago, and it came from Detroit. All these different groups. But I haven't seen none of them on social media. I'm not going by national newspapers or national media, but I'm talking about the regular social media. I haven't seen none of them really with the outrage about the killings that's going on, and especially about the brother getting choked in New York. I was looking for them to come out and say something. I put a picture up on my Savannah Black Carson Attack last week, and it was Al Sharpton. He was walking. Hey, the shit funny as hell. Al Sharpton was walking, and on the side of him was some old civil rights Negroes, you know, and then behind him was some people from the Nation of Islam and a couple of other assorted Negroes. But Al Sharpton leading the march in the front. I'm like, what the fuck? When does nigga get time to leave from goddamn CNN to go down there and, you know what I'm saying? And so the shit tripped me out so bad because I said, you know what? It should have been other brothers that was there doing that shit that live in New York full time, that's out in the streets doing the work. But I haven't seen those brothers yet. But then when I do see some of them, they always talk about playing it smart. But then they'll talk about their past or how hardcore they was. But then when they get knowledge of self, so-called knowledge of self, they become docile and weak. They become docile, man. They don't want to do shit about nothing.
Or maybe
they want to make these
care.
YouTube videos, though. They want to debate each other and talk shit to each other.
Because that's where the money is at. I don't know. I mean, you see why I reacted the way I did last week, you know.
Hey, look. Hey, when you said something, that shit, yeah. When you said something, I told Brother Sir, I said, God damn. I said, man, you heard Brother Tony L? I said, Brother used it. Cool. I said, man. I came up powerful.
I give a shout out to King Noble. King Noble's got a video he put out a couple of days ago. I think it's King Noble exposes Tariq Nasheed, Hidden Colors 3. I didn't even know this dude was on 125th Street checking the DVD sellers, basically checking the tables to see who was selling. I guess his bootleg copy of the. His new movie and whatnot. You know, he had the time to do that. So that shows you where he was at. You know what I'm saying? He wanted some money. Shout out to Tommy Sotomayor. I know a lot of people don't like Mr. Sotomayor. You know, they like to jump on his case for some of the things he says. Give a shout out to the brother. The brother drove 12 hours from Atlanta. He came up to New York last week and was hanging out with us. So I give respect to him. He didn't have to do that. We couldn't get nobody from Public Enemy. We couldn't get nobody from Wu-Tang to come through. They from Shaolin. So, you know what it is. You know, if it ain't about the money, you know.
And they call it the Brooklyn Zoo?
Hey, man, couldn't get nobody. Those that came, they came and showed up. You know, they know who they are.
Right.
Ain't about that money. Right now, like you mentioned, the debates are money. It's all about the dollar. So I'm not going to say nothing about that.
Man,
Nobody cares,
brother. It's sad, right? But you ever been out south before, brother?
A couple times, yeah. I haven't been down there in recent, but yeah, I've been down south.
Man, you say some shit about the south, right? Sister Bria can take you by her people house, right? And be like, yeah, that's my homeboy, Tony L. And after being there for about 30 minutes or an hour, and be like, well, where you staying at? He's like, shit, I really don't have no place to stay. By the time y'all leave that cookout, you'll get an offer from four or five people, giving you a place to stay until you get on your feet. Am I lying, sister?
No, you ain't lying. That's how we operate down here.
That's how we operate down here. Ain't nobody going to go hungry. You know what I'm saying? Everybody going to eat. And we'll have a conversation with each other. And the reason that the Christianity is going as bad as it is down here is because we really don't do that debating each other like that. We might point out each other wrongs every once in a while, but we don't go around looking for people to debate with. We have a whole different system of hospitality that we have down here. And I'm not taking nothing away from up north whatsoever. You being a humble brother that you are, and you one of the only people I know that's from up in that area. I remember a while back, a brother had said something. We were talking about trivial. We were talking about damn rappers. You remember that conversation, right? About what rappers was the best, the East Coast or the West Coast. Remember that shit? Brother Tony.
Yeah, I'm right here.
But that conversation we was having, and the brother was like, West Coast just that, East Coast. Right. I'm sorry, I feel like Park and Biggie was alive for a little second. But you went ahead and killed that shit and said, yeah, brother, okay, that's cool. I agree. But you did not take that shit no further than that for it to be no type of confrontation. And I said, this brother right here, cool as a fuck. I said, he let us knowledge speak for him. And I had like that, But then the other night when you had got upset the way you did, I said, brother, Tony L must be drinking. And then I said, no. Nah. I said, man, that brother mad. Because you usually be chilling, you know. You usually come out and say, all right, Dad. Hey, brother, look this right here. You'll drop that knowledge, and you'll be like, I'm out. Then you'll come back and, hey, and also look this right here up and drop the knowledge and be out. But that day, I heard you go off real hard. You know, and I said, damn, I said, man, brother Tony, I'm going to go off like that right there. You know, you say, yeah, there was people out there, you know, brothers like that. I said, damn.
Yeah,
man, this brother right here, I said, must be enough is enough.
That video pretty much spoke for itself, man. I mean, the fact that he was just laying there. I mean, like I said, you know, if you watch it, take the opportunity to sit down and really watch it. You know, what are you watching? You're watching this man being killed in front of you. Now, I'm not there. I'm just, you know, this is the post. You know, I'm watching him being choked. I'm watching people sitting there not saying, like, nobody realizes this man is dead. Like, how you not realize this man is dead? And if you peep the police officers, they sitting there real calm because they know he's dead. You know, you got a couple, like one guy's asking, oh, how come you're not giving him CPR? If you pay attention, you see the one bald-headed officer, he's like, yeah, he's still breathing. He puts his sunglasses on and kind of smiles because he knows he's dead. Pardon my language. Excuse me. The man's laying, like, it's just so much, you know. You got these thugs or whatever, they're on the corner. Like I said before, how many of them got a gun, a knife on them? You don't realize how many people are standing there until the police leave and everyone floods to the street. It's just so much, you know. It's just insane to watch this shit, you know. I start tweaking out again. It's unbelievable. They just released the news report, if I'm not mistaken. I seen it in the newspaper this morning. It's homicide now, so let's see how far they're going to take it.
Yeah. I had mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, because...
They said it was homicide, and you know who I seen sitting on the front page? Al Sharpton.
Al Sharpton was sitting on the front page, man. Yeah, he going to get his paper. Best believe that. He's going to get that money.
But how can he do that shit? How can he do that? Look here. Let me tell you something. All them street soldiers that some of those brothers got, man, out there and say, look here. You know what? I want you to go slap a shot that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I want you to go check this motherfucker or something. But this man can do all that shit. How you say? A cat. He said he'd rather be a cat than a rat. But, you know, this brother can come and do that damn snitching, you know what I'm saying, and help the motherfucking FBI with COINTELPRO and all that shit and get people knocked out the box and just still come and walk around like it ain't nothing. That shit should be impossible. That should be impossible. So I brought up New York. That's one of the reasons I brought him up because I think down south, they'd have been and got his ass. They would have been and got if you would have seen the picture of him, he would have had policemen surround him. What you think about that, Trill? You think that he would have been able to get him? Hey, I know, and she in Florida. Hey, I don't know if you met any of the Florida folks, man. They act like islanders.
you talk about shopping.
He's protected.
He's ordained by them, so he can walk around freely. Chopin has been down here, Chopley, with that Trayvon Martin stuff. He was all up and down and through Florida, and we let him go right on ahead because what happens is, first of all, he's ordained. So, and then you also got to understand the reality of it is stepping up on the front line, forefront, and actually galvanizing black people means your death. So therefore, people are scared because you're going to die. You have to be prepared to say, this going to be the end of me if I get up and be the voice of the people. And
you're going to die.
So therefore, people are scared. Now, you got people who just use it as a hustle. People just do this instead of preaching. They hustle the conscious movement the same way the others hustle the pulpit. They hustle it. It's all a hustle. Because they know what's going on.
That's their job.
You know exactly what it is, right? You got to know what's going on. And the first that job of any salesman is to know his product. He got to know his product in order to sell it. But, yeah, they all sound real good. When I first became awakened and actually came into and came into talking to other people, that was the first thing I was told, oh, go check this person, that person, that person out. And then you go check that person out. And if every person that they tell you is a leader in the conscious movement, it's going to be 5 other YouTube videos under somebody telling you why you shouldn't listen to them and why you should listen to somebody else. And the reality of it is everybody human. Everybody going to have their flaws. People are, the problem is people are still waiting for Jesus. Everybody they still want Jesus to fall out of the sky. They want a perfect person to come down and galvanize and save all the little conscious souls the same way they when they sleep and they waiting on Jesus. We on this side still waiting for Jesus. It's just going to be a human being. It's going to be a human being. He's going to have good points, and he's going to be misogynistic and crazy. He got his points. But he hates black women. Whatever happened to him, bless his heart. Then you're gonna have people like you're gonna have all kinds of stuff. Then you're gonna have this person, they're gonna have a drug problem. You're gonna have this person and they're gonna think women are objects. You're gonna have all kinds of stuff.
It's
gonna be flawed. But the point is we're supposed to get the information and we're supposed to come up with a game plan. We can't do that because we're so big. The point of thing is the moment somebody end up being human and not the black conscious Jesus.
It's iller than that. I could say one thing that'll knock all that out right now. You ever looked at the King Arthur plan? You ever read the King Arthur plan?
No.
If you get a chance, you can Google it if you're by your computer. Rex 84 readiness exercise 1984 executive order. What is it? 9470. If I'm not mistaken, the King Arthur plan documents. It says it in there. All minority leaders are designated by the president. Case closed. All minority leaders are designated by the president. That's it. Case closed. You know what he is. That's his job. His job is to go up in there, keep it calm, make sure they don't wild out. You know what it is. Get in the back of the paddy wagon, y'all.
Hey, my brother was on here. And he said that if Mr. O was in front of him, was to come up on him and say he'll stab him with a knife. I'm like, God damn! Now he's trying to send the motherfucking feds at my goddamn.
I'm not a fan of dude, but he's done a couple of things that. He's done a couple of things. I don't know. He's somebody I would like, if I could sit down with him for maybe like 3 minutes in the airport real quick and ain't nobody around, I would, like to have the opportunity to do that because he has signed a couple of bills.
And you want him to tell the truth. You'd be like, hey, man, tell the truth, man. Don't bullshit, man. Tell the truth, man. And you blah, 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 blah. Between me and you.
I know he can't.
Hey, look. Hey, I gotta get off, man. This phone about to hang up. It's loud about to go and shit. That's been my time on Savannah Flag Concert Attack. Hey, Sister Bria, please call in next week, and I want to hear you make a poem out of what that was you had said about the giraffe and about the turtle, because that right there had explained a lot when it comes to the different schools of thoughts that we go through and what we need to do when we get there, as far as getting what we need and then leaving out. That would be lovely and great as out of poem between that and the fish and all that stuff, since I love that. And, the poem, Hey, Brother Tony, we're going to have to get some more of them things on Culture Freedom, right?
Yes, sir. You know it. We'll be back on Wednesday. Wednesday at 11 Eastern.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right.
But anyway.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. But you've been listening to Savannah Black Carpet Attack, and I'll holler at y'all next week. Hit me up on Facebook at Mr. Savannah Black Causes Attack. Hit me up on Gmail at Savannah Black. I'll holler at you later at gmail.com.
On into you, man.